Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Kristi Nami Erickson is many things to many people, a mom, a poet, a community activist, as well as the owner of Kindred Post, a downtown Juno post office and gift shop. She'll be teaching a free workshop next Wednesday night at the Mendenhall Valley Public Workshop in Public Library, in partnership with the 49 Writers Group and the Juno Public Library. It's the last in a series of Big Read events sponsored by the National Endowment of the Arts, which this year featured the poetry of Joy Harjo. Kristi is on her way to a Kundiman retreat for Asian writers on a fellowship, but before she left, Rhonda McBride sat down with Kristi, along with Emily Wall from 49 Writers and Margaret Ludke from the Juno Public Library. Here's their conversation.
Let's start with you, Emily Wall, a poet and a mentor to many other poets, but also now a board member on 49 Writers. Tell us what you hope will come out of this workshop that you're collaborating on with the library and Kristi Erickson.
Well, the mission of 49 Writers is to connect writers of all ages and backgrounds and diversities and experiences. And we also really try to lift up young writers wherever possible in many different ways. And so I think our goal is to put some young writers in front of Nami and let her lift them up.
So, Margaret, this is interesting that you have a partnership between the 49 Writers Group and the library. Why did you decide to collaborate?
They were a really wonderful partner in a previous program, part of the NEA Big Reads grant, and they were a really wonderful partner in the writers panel that we had in March. So we reached out again and asked if they'd be interested in doing an additional program. This will be the last of the programming that we have for this year's grant cycle. Yeah, they said yes. It's been great working with them so far.
So Kristi, it must be exciting to have a class at the library. And I've always wondered, in reading your poetry, it's so crisp and clean. The words are so carefully written, so it seems. But I wonder what your process is. Do you agonize over those words, or do they just kind of come in an inspiration?
Well, I think like any art form, it's a good, healthy mixture, right? Some things just materialize, appear, or you're just listening and you harvest them or collect them. And then there is that like second phase where you rip it all apart and you doubt everything and you rewrite the whole draft. And beauty really is in the details at that part. And so, I don't know, every poem is a little bit different. And I'm very excited to be at the library, which really welcomes in people of all styles, all types of people, all types of genres, and to be working with 49 Writers, who is really trying to bring together all types of people who love the written word or spoken word even too. And I liked Emily's introduction to the concept of really introducing it to, or trying to get a lot of young people, get poetry in front of young people. And I would even say that I especially like working with young people, and I especially like working with young writers in the concept of maybe writing is young for you in your own practice. You're new to writing, and I like being a part of a writer's journey. However age old you are, I think this workshop could be especially helpful for folks who maybe are just starting out or just contemplating what poetry might mean to them.
Well, I would like to take the workshop, I think maybe for one reason, just to learn how you do what you do. It's so magical, your way with words. You seem to be able to say the things that we're all thinking and feeling. I don't know how you do it, but but will you be sharing your process?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think my goals for any workshop are really about nourishing people's relationship with poetry, but I actually don't even think it's with poetry, although some people have like maybe an unhealthy relationship with poetry in the past and they need to heal that. But most people, I think it's really about nourishing the relationship with themselves, right, through poetry. Like if you think about taking a dance class and you go to the dance class, maybe you do want to learn that dance, but what you're also doing is you're warming up your body. You're doing some side steps, you're learning some spins, you know, and maybe you're learning the choreography together. You're with other people who love dance. You're remembering what it feels like to feel music, right? All of that's part of the process. And then yes, you do the dance at the end. And I think of that with poetry too, that there's so many things that we do in our daily lives outside of a poetry workshop that are absolutely poetic. I think most people I run into don't consider themselves quote-unquote poets, capital P poets, but I do think of them as poets. I think of people who make jokes as poets, right? They're turning language, turning a phrase. I think of gardeners as poets, you know, looking at every tiny leaf that's growing. That means you're paying attention. It means that the details matter to you. I think kids are natural poets because they don't know exactly the word they're supposed to use at a time. I think whoever writes NASA's press releases is an amazing poet. I love to hear how they describe the moon, you know, but I think that there's so much poetry in our language already, just in the way we talk to each other, right? Like, I'm starving, you know? You're not really starving. That's a hyperbole, which is a poetic device. And so I think in my poetry workshops, I mean, I don't know that there's like an A to Z process so much as I think it's like learning to identify where poetry already shows up for you in your body, in your mind, as you're thinking. Are you naturally someone who uses their senses, is attracted to the visual sensations of things in the world? Are you someone who's like really grounded in storytelling and how something turns? I think there's just like a lot of natural elements of poetry that are within us. And I feel like my job as a teacher is not to teach you how to write a poem, but is to teach you how to listen to yourself and use poetry, use poetic tools to really get those feelings or thoughts out. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, it gives me a sense of what I might expect if I came to your workshop, and it sounds like a lot of enthusiasm. So, Emily, was that part of why Nami was chosen? Was for her enthusiasm and her yeah. love of poetry, her passion for sharing it?
Yes. I will say, I will admit, I'm new to the board, so I wasn't part of the conversation. But if I had been there, I would say, absolutely. I am a huge fan of Christy's poems, and I teach them every year in my classes. And what you said earlier is exactly why I teach my intro students her poem Bent first, because they come in and they're like, oh, no, we're not doing poetry. Oh, no. And I'm like, yeah, you are. And I give it to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, I felt that way. And they're like, wait, I just read a poem. I felt that way. Mm. I know what that means. Like, it just breaks down that barrier. Mm. And I've seen her, of course, teach multiple classes. She was in my kids' school several times. And every time I've seen her teach a class, I just see all those fear barriers disappear right away. Whoever they are, they step up and fall in love with poetry. And I think that's the most important thing. So I think for a community class, Christy's approach and passion and is exactly the right thing for any writer who wants to come.
You know, I had a lot of fear barriers in high school. Things like rhyme, meter, iambic pentameter. Those words scared me.
Yeah. I know. I feel like so many people have like poetry trauma, you know, about like what they were taught poetry had to be, and somehow, you know, everything that they might have liked about poetry became just about getting something right on a test. Or of course you don't like poetry if that's the way it was presented to you. And so I think in terms of like what one might expect in coming to the workshop, and thank you, Emily, for such kind words about my writing and about my teaching style. But I try to set it up in a way that I'm in a conversation with you. I'm really just more asking questions. I'm trying to set you up with prompts that you will naturally be able to answer just as a human being experiencing your life and experiencing the world. And the poem, quote unquote, really comes at the end. I'm also just less a stickler about form, and that might come from my spoken word roots, that I believe the real magic of the poem is less about how it's written on the page and more about the meaning behind it and how it's delivered, whether it's clear to you, the writer, and clear to your audience, whether that's readers or listeners in a performance avenue.
Well, you have done a lot of work with people who might not necessarily have access to poetry, in the prisons, with young people who have various challenges. What do you discover in opening the door to poetry for them? Do you think that the poetry helps them in some way?
Oh, gosh, well, I mean, I can't know for sure, but boy, I hope so. In the sense that, like I said earlier, the goal for me with poetry is that it connects me better with myself and with others and with the world around me. And I love poetry because I have received the healing benefits of that, the liberating practice of that. And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching it, yes, not just to everybody, but to specific communities that I think have, for a myriad of reasons, have felt that they could not have a voice, maybe even in speaking to themselves, and certainly not in certain environments. And I want to use poetry as a language that can liberate them in those ways through poems, even if it can't liberate them from the walls that confines them physically at that time.
So Emily, she just said that poetry is a language, almost as if it's a language to itself. Do you agree?
I do. I mean, I think that I love what you said. I think it's so much about hearing your own story, connecting to your own experience. I see that a lot. When I'm reading poetry, I see it with my students. And I would echo the same thing. I think it's not about, do you have the right number of beats in this line? Is it, are you being authentic to your story? Are you digging a little deeper? The students and I always use this metaphor in class. Don't stand in the kitchen doorway. Get in there and put your hand on the hot stove.
Mm.
And I think that the poems I love most, I feel that when I'm reading them. The poet really is present. Like, they were honest. And I push my students, and I've seen Christy push her students, too, to be like, what's really going on, right? Let's have a conversation with ourselves about what's going on. And I think I would agree that that's at the heart of what makes really good poems.
So, Margaret, in the library, you have a chance to observe people's behaviors and what they're checking out. Do you think that children gravitate towards poetry when they're very young and then maybe later move away from it?
I do. I think the library has a pretty robust collection of poetry in the juvenile section, and it's really well used. And then you get into the adult poetry section, and it's it's less well used, unfortunately. And that's the goal of bringing 49 writers and NAMI into the library, is to and being a part of this Big Reads program that we have, and choosing Joy Harjo's work as the basis for that, it was to try to engage more readers. And I can say I read a lot more poetry this year than I have in the past. I certainly was intimidated just by the reading of poetry previously, and now between Joy Harjo's work and all of the engagement that we've had over the last year, I'm a lot more comfortable with even the reading of it, which is, it's been wonderful. It's been a great experience over the last year.
Well, Joy Harjo has kind of been front and center this year in Juneau with events built around her poetry. What kind of an influence has Joy Harjo had on you and your work?
I've loved Joy Harjo's work for a really long time. I even have a piece after one of her pieces. Mine's called She Had Some Dragons. After Joy Harjo's, She Had Some Horses. I have many things to love about Joy's work, and I think, you know, I'm not finished with An American Sunrise yet. I'm currently reading it, but I'm seeing obviously some of the recurring themes that you see in some of her other books and poems, which is her relationship with the land and her descriptions of landscape. And I mean that both in terms of the physical land, the dirt and the roads, as well as like the landscape, like the political landscape or the emotional landscape that she's traversing. She really brings a reader on that journey, and then she's not afraid to like take a side road. And now I'm talking this very romantic poem about her husband in the morning. I don't know if you've read the book yet. You know, and it feels like slightly like a departure, and then you're back on the road. And I love that. I think that it helps us, instead of pigeonholing her as maybe like just a Native American writer writing Native American stories, she helps us understand that identity is more is influenced by our racial backgrounds and our histories, and is also one part of what makes us just these whole human beings. Yeah, like I said, I've been a fan of her work for a long time, and so what an honor to get to be pulled in at the NEA Big Reads moment when her book is front and center.
So, Emily, why is it that you want to pull a local artist into the mix?
You know, I'm just a locavore. I love all things.
I love that. Locavore.
That's a great word.
All things Juno. I think it's incredibly important for writers to see writers who live here. Not that it's not important to study Harjo and other writers who are so inspiring, but I think seeing someone standing in the room that they know, it changes their relationship to the work. I take my kids down to Kindred Post all the time. They, like, spend all their allowance there, basically. they go in the door, and they're like, ooh, this is the poet's shop. You know, like, aww. So they have these associations of, like, these beautiful downtown days, and it's Christie's shop and her poetry, and they know her, and poetry's real, and it's a real person who writes it, and I write poetry, and I, like, all these circles connect, I think, where it's not this distant art form, but this is what we do in Juno. We write poetry. Mm.
This is what we do in Juno. I love that. Mm-hmm. And there are, it seems, a lot of poets per capita. Just look at Tidal Echo. So in this class that you're offering, Emily, are we cultivating some new poets, you hope? And, I mean, who is this workshop for?
Well, I hope everybody, absolutely. I mean, I love what Christy said earlier, that this isn't about age at all. I hope that the grandmas come, and I hope that the kids come, and I hope that some UIS students come, and I hope someone comes who accidentally walked in the door and has never written poetry. It really is for everybody, and I think that having seen Christy teach, I know that it will be a transformative experience for whoever walks in the door, and whatever they walk back out with, they'll be glad they were there.
That was Rhonda McBride talking with Emily Wall from the 49 Writers, poet Christy Nami Erickson, and Margaret Ludke with the Juno Public Library. Once again, that free poetry workshop with Christy Nami Erickson is a week from today at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library on Wednesday, June 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. All ages are welcome starting at age 16. Contact Margaret Ludke at the Juno Public Library to sign up. We'll have her contact information on the Juno Afternoon website at ktoo.org.